Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is a remote edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. Oceanator is the name that singer and guitarist Elise Kourosami uses for her solo musical endeavors. Her most recent album is called Things I Never Said, and it goes from punk to pop to grunge to this tune, I Would Find You, which has more of an 80s synth rock sound. Oceanator is usually a Brooklyn project, although Elise is spending pandemic time in Maryland, and that's where she joins us from, guitar in hand, and she'll start us off with a song called Crack in the World.
There's only so much you can do. It's hard to have big dreams, but it's hard to let those dreams die out too. Remembering when you were a kid, you thought by now you'd figure out most everything. It's all as confusing as ever, and every day had something new. Some of those things are bad enough they almost crush you. It's not what you wanted, but it'll do. It's not what you wanted, but it's gonna have to do. Who knows if we'll be here tomorrow? But everything still matters, you know. And you could say you didn't, but we've been over us again and again. You never hear anything you don't want to, and you don't wanna hear about the end. It's not what you wanted, but it'll do. It's not what you wanted, but it's what you get. And who knows, things could get better.
That's a live performance of a song called Crackin' the World, and it comes from the latest album by Oceanator, the record called Things I Never Said. Oceanator is the work of Elise Okusami, who joins me, and I've really enjoyed hearing this record and now getting a chance to hear you play live. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much for having me. I'm stoked to be here.
So let me ask you a name question. I'm sure people ask all the time what Oceanator means, and I'll get to that in a minute. But your last name, Okusami, do you find people thinking you're Japanese before they actually...
Constantly.
It's a Nigerian name, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad's from Nigeria, and he came here in the 70s, I think.
Uh-huh. Did your dad play? I mean, did you grow up with Fela Kuti or, you know, High Life or, you know, any of the pop styles of West African and Central African music?
Yeah, some of that was around, but he really liked like Otis Redding, all that soul stuff. So a lot of that was on in the house, and also like a ton of jazz. And then moving into the 80s, I remember hearing, like, you know, Thriller a lot. And,
of course.
It was a lot of that old soul stuff, and then current, like, 80s, 90s, not so like pop, but not like that other, still like kind of soul side of pop and funk and stuff, you know?
Yeah. So a lot of the record, you know, it's built around you and the guitar. So, you know, it references punk and grunge and stuff like that, all of which would have come around when your dad was a teenager. How did you get into it?
I got into punk when, like, I heard Green Day for the first time. I think that's a lot of people's, of my age's entry into it. And, you know, Nirvana had come out a little bit earlier. I didn't hear that stuff right when it came out. But, you know, was into that. That was still on the radio. I listened to a lot of, like, I grew up in D.C., so I listened to, like, D.C. 101 and HFS a lot when that was still a station. And they were just playing all that, like, punk-adjacent grunge stuff. And then I started going into, like, finding bands on Epitaph and Lookout Records and then moving backwards from there.
And it's probably worth pointing out, especially to lifelong New Yorkers like myself, that while New York might have been ground zero for punk, Washington, D.C. had an amazing punk scene.
Yes, we did. We had some great stuff. I got to do some diving on that in high school because I played in, like, a punk band and, you know, was playing shows around, and it was a strange experience to go there and not only be, like, the only one on stage doing it, but also a lot of times, like, the only one in the room at all.
Right.
And so one of the first things I would do, like, especially when we went to a show just to watch a show, I would look for another black person just to make sure, like, we didn't go by accident to, like, the skinhead. You know, show, like, the bad skinhead, not the good skinhead, you know, because there were the good ones too.
Yeah. Did you ever have to leave a show because you realized, wrong type of band?
I did not, luckily.
Okay,
I went to all the good ones. My friends, we steered the right way. But, you know, friends had run-ins and stuff just around the city and everything with those folks.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about some of these issues with Barty Strange when he was on the show last year.
Cool.
He was one of the last people we actually had playing live in our studio before, you know, everything shut down.
Right.
And you and he, you split an EP, right?
Yeah, we did a little covers EP over the summer that just to try to raise some money that for Survived and Punished New York is where that one goes to. It kind of came together last minute.
Well, now, Bartiz, you know, sort of made his name initially by doing covers of songs by The National, although he has since proven to be a really fine songwriter on his own.
Yes, very good.
Whereas you, as Oceanator, you know, your thing is your own music. So when it came time to choose covers, How do you make a decision like that?
I've always really liked doing covers anyway. So for this one, we were specifically thinking that it should be like protest songs. And then A Change Is Gonna Come is just like one of the best songs ever written.
It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's out there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know change is gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
I was really stressed about doing it because it's so good, but then I was like, let's just do it. It's for a good cause. And I had originally wanted to do Woody Guthrie as well, but Bartiz was like, give me that one. I'm from Oklahoma. All right, fair.
Right.
And then he killed it. So, yeah, I was.
Well, that's great. But so back to the record, Things I Never Said, and I said I was going to follow up on the Oceanator question. Where does that, people must ask you this all the time, where does that name come from?
I was sitting in my room, just thinking, you know, just about nothing really. And I just, for some reason, came to the thought process of like, what would the name of a superhero or supervillain be that changed the whole world into an ocean? I was like, oh, Oceanator. And then I was like, that's it. That's the name. And I immediately got on Instagram and Twitter and like got the names and then didn't do anything with them for like 2 years because I wasn't like, I was playing in other bands and wasn't ready to start doing this project yet.
So is Oceanator a superhero or a supervillain in your mind?
I don't know. I kind of at this point I kind of think of it more like that's how it came about, but I think about it less in like terms of good and evil and more in terms of just an all-encompassing sort of thing.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, all right.
You know, just like a little world of its own. That was one of the things I wanted to do with this record, with Things I Never Said. I Would Find You is all synthy, and there's Walk With You, which is kind of like a, you know, sock hop 50s song. But yeah, I was trying to, I know they're all very, they're different styles, but from the way I like thought about having them on this record and why these are all on the record is I felt like they had a still common through line, both in kind of tone and song and like musically.
Yeah. I want to follow up on both things you just said, both the tone and the music on the record. But first I want to give people a chance to hear this song. So let's hear Elise and her guitar. The song is I Don't Mind. You'll find it on one of the earlier EPs before the new album came out. This one, the record's called Things I Never Said. But let's hear this live performance of I Don't Mind.
No. stars for love. No, I don't mind, I don't mind, I don't mind, I don't mind. No, it could be so warm. Oh, protected from the storm. No, I won't mind, I won't mind, I won't mind, I won't mind. But oh, when I walk away, oh, there's nothing left to say. No, out of time, out of time, out of time, I don't mind. And oh,
that's I Don't Mind, live performance from Oceanator, the work of Elise Okusami, who you heard singing and playing guitar. And Elise, before we heard that song, you said that the new album, Things I Never Said, you know, that there were a couple of threads binding all these different songs together. One of them was the tone. There are about 50-50, I would say, on this record, songs that are kind of comforting and then songs that make you like run for comfort because they're full of this kind of apocalyptic kind of dark imagery, yeah. Which, you know, which now I think we can't hear without relating it to, you know, of course, the pandemic and stuff. Mm-hmm. When were these songs written?
We recorded the record in 2018, so they're all written before that. I don't know. That's kind of just I've always kind of gravitated in stuff I enjoy, like reading and listening to also, or like watching movies wise, to stuff with this big apocalyptic imagery that's kind of set to, like, that's just there to tell a smaller story, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of set the tone for, you know, we're not necessarily talking specifically about the end of the world, but that's a backdrop to what we are talking about.
Right.
So even the songs, for me at least, even the songs that aren't referencing that imagery specifically are still kind of in that same world where it's like, that is still the background of what's going on and we're trying to get by.
Yeah. Well, you're certainly not the only artist who has found his or her art to have taken on an unexpected new layer of meaning in the last year. I mean, they're kind of classic themes, aren't they? You know, isolation and communication. And
totally. Yeah, it's very, very classic stuff that I think has been, you know, you can listen to stuff from ages ago that's dealing with the same themes. But I also think that there was kind of, you know, not that the pandemic itself was anticipated, but a lot of, you know, the stuff in the world has been going on a direction and you kind of bring that into your body and into your brain. So I feel like we're all kind of channeling that.
Well, and as a fan yourself of kind of apocalyptic films and stories, you know, I mean, viruses, plagues, pandemics, I mean, that stuff is, you know, par for the course when
totally.
So maybe you're right that we couldn't have predicted it, although there is that striking footage of then President Obama saying, hey, you know, in 5 or 10 years we may need this pandemic preparedness office.
Oh, I haven't seen that, but yeah, I mean
well, and then the next president completely dismantled it when he got into office. So as you say, you know, you couldn't have predicted it. On the other hand, that possibility has been something that we've lived with, you know, for a very long time. And anybody who is drawn to that sort of imagery would have to, you know, it would be there just in the ether.
Totally. Yeah. It was an option for sure of something, you know, to come. But
and then there is the music itself on the record is sort of determinedly I would almost say defiantly lo-fi. You know, it doesn't cost a lot to get auto-tune, you know, to throw a little auto-tune on the voice. But you don't go that route. You got your brother, Mike, co-producing and playing with you and a small coterie of friends. There is something kind of really homespun, it feels, about this record. Was that intentional on your part?
Yeah, I wanted to feel like a lot of the songs especially were a band playing in a room that you're hearing. So Goodbye, Goodnight, A Crack in the World, Heartbeat, Hideaway, and Walk With You were all recorded live. Walk With You is actually the first take we did. It's me, Eva, and Andrew. I did the vocals later, but all the instruments, except the solo, obviously, because I can't do both, were done. That was the first take. We did it at Eva's studio and at Wonder Park Studios for that song.
That's Eva Lowitz, my neighbor, your producer, plays bass on the album.
Yeah. So, yeah, a bunch of the songs on the record, the ones that I didn't play multiple things on, basically, are live, a live band in a room, and we like didn't really go back and change anything from that. I just went and added onto it to kind of flesh it out and make it a little fuller.
So as opposed to many recordings, which are, you know, kind of pristine and glossy on the surface and then very difficult to reproduce live,
yeah,
you can just go and do this stuff eventually when such time. Things are
yeah,
allowed.
Totally, yeah. And like I love a pristine and glossy thing too, you know. That's also great, but just not what I want to do for this specific record and what I thought these songs would benefit most from.
Well, you mentioned one of them, Hideaway, which you're going to do next. And, you know, just it's an interesting song because it presents as a kind of punk or post-punk number. But it's got some of those harmonies, some of those chords are... It's not, you know, Ramones playing C, D, and G, you know? There's some really interesting stuff happening there.
That one was really fun for me because, like, I was thinking... originally, that song was 9 minutes long when I first wrote it. And I cut it down because that's really long. But, you know, it's kind of like it tells, like lyrically, it tells the whole story, you know, from kind of sort of beginning to end. And there was a lot more to it that I took out because I didn't think it really furthered the story at all. It was that song was weird in that it came out all, it's so long and there's so much going on, but it still came out all kind of at once, which whenever that happens is pretty cool. And I'm always like, I don't know where this came from. Brains are weird. I think it was just like everything I had been listening to kind of all came together and was like, here's a new song. Let's just mash all that up.
Well, and it's also, as you say, it's a story being told, but in the background of that story is a world that is changing.
Yep.
And so it goes back to what you were talking about before, some of the apocalyptic imagery. And of course, now it reads like the ultimate pandemic song.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hear another live performance from Oceanator, the work of Elise Okusami. This is her solo performance of the song Hideaway.
The flames burning up close and licking my face. And it was too hot, too hot. to an end and we hide away, waste away all of our afternoons and hide away. I wonder how many afternoons we have left. Fizzled out. It got too hard to keep stoked and healthy. I feel too old, too stiff to move. There seems no point, no life without you. Now we settle on the edge of the world. Nothing I could do about it. And you were getting worse every day. And all I could do was watch and wait. And you would try to smile through it all. But sometimes you couldn't manage that. And I was no help at all. And I'm sorry that in the end there was nothing I could do. Sorry you had to watch your world crumble down around you. And I'm trying to forget the last time that I saw your face. But I think that it's the one memory of you I can't seem to replace. Of the world I just left behind, and now I settle down and watch from afar as my world comes to an end, and I hide away and waste away all of my afternoons, and hide away and wonder how many afternoons I have left, and I watch and wait. See everything falling down all around me and waste away as the water rolls out and the fire's rolling, and I don't mind or wouldn't if you're still here beside me. We hide away.
That's Oceanator and a live performance of Hide Away. It's a song that you'll find on the latest Oceanator recording called Things I Never Said. Elise Okusami singing and playing guitar. And we were talking before, Elise, about how this record, Things I Never Said, you know, you wanted that kind of rough and ready DIY sound. You didn't want the glossy studio sheen. You're now in starting the process of making the next record. Have you made that decision yet about which sonic direction you're going to go?
Yeah, we are going to do kind of a mix, like a half and half. So we're going into a studio with Bartiz.
With Bartiz Strange?
Yeah.
Oh.
And We're doing 4 days with him in the studio and going to try to get like a lot of the bones done and so do some fun stuff using some organs and mm-hmm. hopefully like a Leslie cabinet and stuff is going to be on there. And then we're doing the rest here again, kind of like we did the last one, half with Eva in Wonder Park and half with my brother. We're doing the same thing, doing it in the basement here in the house that I'm sitting in right now. So I think it's going to be a little bit more polished, I guess, than the last one. A little more going on.
Will you and Bartiz be singing together? I mean, will he be harmonizing with you?
Oh, no, he's co-producing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he won't be on it, but he'll
be behind it.
He'll be behind it. Yeah. So there's going to be the three of us co-producing on this one. And it's going to have that same sort of feel, I think, but we're only doing three songs live and the rest we're kind of layering.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be awesome. I'm very excited.
Well, I guess it's up to us as listeners to decide whether Oceanator is a supervillain or a superhero. But in any event, she's a pretty interesting character to listen to. And Elise, thank you so much for playing for us. Congratulations on the record on Things I Never Said.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks again for having me. It's been really fun.
Watch the videos of Oceanator's performances on our website, newsounds.org, or our YouTube channel. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. Video editor is David McLean. I'm John Schaefer. And I've been waiting.